The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program. This is Cale Clark from the Cale Clark Show and the Faith Explained program, sitting in for Drew today. And obviously, it is 3 p.m. Central now. It is time to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I know that Drew, right now, he's probably, for all we know, praying for you at local time in Israel, 3 p.m., a chaplet for you, for your intentions. And you can get those intentions to Drew. I know he's checking his social media feeds. One of them is on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. You can check that out. Send him your prayer requests. It's not the same as calling into the show, but it's the next best thing. I know he's praying for you. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to actually join Drew in a recording of the chaplet from time earlier here on Relevant Radio, but it's a great way for you to pray for him and that it might be a fruitful pilgrimage for him and for all those who are with him right now in the Holy Land. So why not pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy right now on Relevant Radio?
Well, thank you for joining me. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on the air. We're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I always try to take at least the first 5-6 calls or so, maybe more if I can get it in. The number here, if you are new to the broadcast and you say, gosh, I'd love to be able to get my prayer intention in, it's 888-914-9149. Stick it in your speed dial and then use it, okay? 888-914-9149. And you know, we'll have our whole spiritual family here praying together for us. And we have faithful believers, trusting souls from coast to coast who are opening their heart and petitioning God for you and for your intentions. And not just around the country. As you heard my guest the other day, Kevin Turley, he listens in Britain. And I've got people who write to me in the tip of Cape Town, South Africa, all over Australia. Hawaii. We've got people in different parts of the globe praying with us. So it's a global prayer and such a powerhouse prayer. I'm just so happy to be able to play my small part and lead it. My producer Maggie is going to be praying with me today. And Maggie, it's always good to have you with us. Anything you want to start off with?
Actually, yeah, something that's been on my heart the last couple of days. There is a group of kids that kind of roam the streets at night in Park Ridge, Illinois, and we've seen them. Joe and I take walks at night sometimes past St. Paul of the Cross, and we saw them the other night, and they had what I thought was a hubcap, and they were tossing it around, and then one of them chucked it at the church. And so Joe went in and was like, "What are you guys doing? You know, like, knock it off, you know?" And it's funny because the more we've gotten to know the priests there and like even the maintenance guy, they're like, man, those kids, they come around like every night. They've been breaking into the school. They've been getting onto the rooftop and chucking things off the roof. And I just want to pray for this group of kids. I somehow I'm like, man, I would like to like evangelize them. I don't know how, but I want to pray for that group of kids.
Amen to that. I love that. You know, they say the greatest saints often start as the greatest sinners, you know, mm-hmm. And the kids will be kids, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they need, like you said, maybe somebody there, you know, invite them into the church. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a great group there. Who knows? But we'll pray. Prayer is really the antidote to so many of our problems today. A couple petitions that have come in, and we seem to have this charism with missing people and missing dogs, missing keys, missing passports. This person wrote, Drew, could you please include a prayer for a missing 13-year-old girl who was abducted in Reading, Pennsylvania, in Berks County, Pennsylvania? Wow. 13 years old. Can you imagine her family? Can you imagine the horror that this 13-year-old girl must be enduring? She said, I know your ministry has this special charism for missing or lost people and things. Thank you for the prayers. Well, it's all God's mercy. I mean, all we can do is bring this intention to God and ask him for some reason to hear this prayer again, to bring safety to this girl and return her safely to her home and to heal whatever wounds she might have. Another person wrote and said, Drew, there is a 21-year-old college student who has a very bad drug addiction and has gone missing. His name's Max. Time and time again, he's been in rehab and he's been unable to climb out of the pit of addiction. He's been missing now for several days. His parents are in agony. May he know Jesus, hear his voice, And may the good shepherd find Max and bring him home to his parents. We will certainly pray for that soul as well. And another intention comes in here. Could you pray for my friend Alyssa? She is in her mid-40s, has two high school children, and one just off to college. She's been diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of cervical cancer. It's spread. Surgery is now off the table. She may get radiation or chemo. She told me that the things do not look good for her. And to be honest, she's terrified. Could you pray for Alyssa to have the courage to endure whatever comes her way? Thank you. All right. God bless you. We'll certainly do that. And last intention here, because it just popped up. My 32-year-old cousin is a mom to a 4-year-old little boy. Drew, we need a miracle. She was just diagnosed with cancer. Sister Mary Joseph nodule, which gives her no hope. If she takes chemo, she's given 9 months to live. If she doesn't, she's given 6 months. She is in God's hands, a great place to be. But we're asking for a miracle. Thank you so much for this program and for this prayers. Jenny, we are going to be praying for her right now. And let's pray for those miracles. Let's ask God to just, again, just for the greater glory of God, to honor the promises given to this prayer, the chaplet of divine mercy, to allow many miracles to take place. So I want to lift that up, and Lord, I just ask you to, in your mercy, to please, please, please be merciful. This person says, Drew, I was praying that my son not move in with his girlfriend. He decided to wait a year, so I offered my rosary and chaplet. On the days when I get to it, I feel blessed that Jesus took pity on me, had mercy, and answered this prayer. Just wanted to let you know. I want to thank the family of prayer, Robert. Another person wrote, Drew, my daughter Steph's stem cell transplant was August. It was back in August, and thank you, Father. It was successful. This week, she was at the Ronald McDonald camp as a counselor, giving back to little girls who are battling. We also lost our dear friend Sabrina on the same floor. It was bittersweet for both families. You remember her parents and that awful day. And I truly feel that you are part of my family. Thank you for your prayers. Certainly will. Lots of intentions come in. If I don't get a chance to read them on the air, I don't write back. Know that they are prayed for. Every intention is read. Every intention is read. And let's pray now. We'll just take these intentions and so many others and just bring them to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call today. It comes from Dolores. She is praying in Sun City, Arizona. Hi, Dolores. Good afternoon.
Taking my call. I love your show, and I have met Thanks. You in Phoenix, you and your wife, at several events. Well, a couple events.
Right.
But I need a miracle for a second cousin. John Hudson Dilgen in Staten Island, New York. He has been suffering with epidermolysis bullosa, which is a rare genetic skin disease. Extremely painful. He has already lost toes and fingers.
Wow.
Very disabled with scarring, tooth decay, esophageal blistering and scarring. His daily wound care takes about 1 hour with three people.
Wow.
Oh, gosh. That's torture.
Yes, and the life expectancy is 20 years, and he just turned 20 years old in August. So really need a miracle. And when I'm listening to your show when I'm in the car on my way coming home, and I hear of all the miracles that have come about, and I'm hoping that this one will be also. So
Amen.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do. You're a blessing.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Dolores. Let's pray for you, too, and for all your attentions, but definitely for your cousin. I mean, that's a life of agony, you know, esophageal blisters and 3 hours. I mean, three people dealing with his wound care. Lord, I don't understand your will. I don't understand the mystery of suffering. I know one day I will, and I know the saints embraced it. And I intercede for Dolores' cousins. I just ask for your mercy. I do. I don't. Just ask for your mercy. I know that, you know, St. Thomas Kempis once said, he says, you know, nothing, even ever so little, you know, if it's suffered for God's sake, can pass without merit, you know, in the sight of God. So, I mean, this man is, in some respect, a victim soul if he's offering it to the Lord, how powerful his prayers would be. You know, Faustina often spoke about how angels, if they could envy us, they'd envy us for two things. One is, of course, receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The other is suffering, and it's a mystery to us. It is a mystery. I don't get it. I do not know. Someday, you will know. Someday when you stand before God, you'll know the value of what you're going through right now, the suffering you're going through, the pains of the body, the financial hardships, those emotional and psychological wounds you're going through, the tears that you're shedding. Someday, Faustina says, we'll all know perfectly the value of what we are enduring. But at that point in time, you're not going to be able to suffer. So let's suffer well. All right, let's suffer well. Lord, I thank you for this mystery. I don't understand it, but I thank you for it. I ask you to bring good out of all these situations. But I do pray for miracles, and I'm so grateful for the many answered prayers that we have that come in every day in this chaplain, from tumors disappearing to the kidnap being returned. And I ask for those who are calling out for those miracles, who really need to feel your presence and experience your touch. I just intercede on their behalf, and I invoke your mercy, and I plead your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Elena is listening to Elena. Is listening to us in Chicago. Hi, Elena.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I need prayers for my son, Franklin, his wife, Sarah, and who's pregnant also, and their 2-year-old boy, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin to come back with the true faith.
Okay.
I know God is good. Thank you for all you do and for all the prayer warriors.
Yeah, well, we're all family here, aren't we, Elena? I mean, you're one of them. You're part of that family. You're part of those prayer warriors. And it's so good to pray with so many people. I just think this is such a gift, such a blessing to all of us to stop in the middle of the afternoon and to turn to God with one voice. I can't even imagine how many people would be gathered in this moment if we could fill stadiums, you know, and cry out to God in one singular voice. That's what we're doing. And I know God's heart is moved by this. His mercy is his greatest attribute. And Lord, I pray for Elena's son, or Elena's son, and her daughter. I pray for those who are pregnant, especially for this pregnancy, but for all those who are having trouble in utero, those who are trying to adopt, those who are having problems with their children. I bring you those souls too. But I pray for those with COVID. And I know her son has COVID, and she also prayed not just for his healing, but for his conversion. And I pray for all of our loved ones, especially, I know you hear this prayer without question. I pray that those graces, those super abundant of graces can flow so that our souls may come back to you sooner rather than later. I know that your grace is at work, but I just really ask for the miracle of conversion as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Meg in Nashville, Maggie's been monitoring our Twitter, and you can send your intentions to Maggie to share on the air at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can communicate with me too if you want, at Drew Mariani. And of course, send me those answered prayers, and I'll share some tomorrow. I will. Instead of petitions, I'll share a lot of answered prayers because there's a lot coming in. Send them drew@relevantradio.com. As God answers your prayers, I know many of them are being answered. As you recognize God's intervention in your situation, drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, put answered prayer or praise report or just something so I can flag it, okay? Maggie, what's coming in?
Lots of tweets today, Drew. I got a lot of emails that I'll read tomorrow, but as far as tweets go, Cindy wrote to us. She said, "Please pray for me today. My ex-husband is flying in from England to be at my daughter's 30th birthday. She hasn't seen him since she was 11. My emotions are high. I thought I have forgiven him, but I'm only human. I'm nervous. I pick him up at the airport today at 5 p.m. Andrea wrote to us and said, "Request from the Chaplet Prayer Warriors. Missing in Omaha. Urgent. My uncle, who is 80, drove out around 5:30 p.m. So this was yesterday in Omaha. That's the last that we've tracked his car getting gas, but he doesn't know where he's going."
Wow.
Kathleen wrote to us and said, "Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to go to Ireland next week. We pray for a blessed time and hope to spread messages and rosaries and holy cards around." And then Samantha, I thought this was really sweet. She said, "Please pray for the FedEx guy, Tyler. God knows the issue. Thank you."
Wow. Beautiful prayers. Lots of diverse intentions. And Lord, we give them all to you. We bring Meg in. She's waiting in Nashville to join that litany of intentions. Meg, thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Sure. Hi, Drew.
Hi. Hi, Meg. Meg, you okay?
Yeah. We are suffering quite a bit here. My daughter-in-law, who is newly pregnant, her mom was killed the other day on Monday. Wow. Trying to help a neighbor whose ex-husband kind of went crazy and brought a gun and was attacking her. And she went out to stop it and said, "Shoot me instead." And he shot both women and killed them.
Oh my gosh.
And her husband, my daughter-in-law's dad, disarmed the guy and hit him in the head with the gun, and another neighbor came out, and the police were called, and he's in detainment, but he has to face him on Saturday at court, and the family is just reeling. And my son is doing his best to take care of his newly pregnant wife.
Oh,
they're young, you know. Her family is in great pain. We're all suffering. None of us can believe it. It seems surreal.
It's the perfect word for it. Surreal. What a horrible story and a horrible series of events. But Meg, I'm glad you got through. I really am, because, you know, in times of difficulty and trial, family comes together, and we're here for you. We're here especially for your daughter's mother-in-law and all those who've lost their lives for this man and for this whole situation. And, you know, divine mercy, St. Faustina says, is the balm. It's the ointment. It's the remedy that will bring healing. It's God's mercy that brings this healing. And this is a horrific, unnecessary tragedy. And Lord, I don't, as I said in the very beginning, understand the mystery of suffering. I don't understand this. I know that when sin entered the world, so did disorder. So did chaos. So did evil. And I just ask you, vanquish that, and in some way bring good out of this situation. Bring especially healing. Give fortitude. Above all, give your presence. Let this whole family feel your mercy manifested in a special way. Lord, I pray for all those who are the victims of agony or tragedy and accidents and other sorts of agonies. I bring them to you today as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Wow. Hey Meg, I'm really kind of stunned by your intention. You will be prayed for, not just by me, but I know so many people here. Your whole family will, especially, you know, your daughter-in-law and your son. Let me go to Juan next. He's in Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, Juan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I pray with you at divine mercy. I'm looking at my 5-acre farm. I call that Holy Family Farm. I would like, God willing, we'll establish a Holy Family Village for the homeless and the disadvantaged in this 5-acre farm. That's my petition.
What a beautiful and noble vision that you have. Let's do that right now, Juan. Let's pray for it, okay? Write it down.
Yes, sir.
And let's pray. All right, let's pray right now. Lord, I give you Juan. Man, you have just created with such a generous heart. And I love where he's coming from. I do pray for those who are disabled, those who are homeless, those in crisis pregnancies, those that need healing. So I pray for this vision that you put in his heart to manifest, Lord. And I just ask you send the providence and you open the right doors for him so that Juan may be able to minister to those who are wounded. I want to pray for Bob Tabali's effort too. Dr. Tabali is doing something for women who are facing crisis pregnancies, who have lost children through miscarriage or abortion. And he's doing something very similar. He's got a piece of land and wants to build a shrine there. So, Lord, I pray for all those who are out there with this vision, this call to minister, to help those in need. Bless them and protect them in your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call, see if I can get a couple in, see where our time is. Who's up next, Maggie? Is it Sue or Marcy? Marcy, listening in the city of Orange, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to first pray for you and Maggie and all of you at Relevant Radio that have helped me and so many get closer to our faith. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to pray for healing for my daughter who had an unplanned pregnancy but has just suffered a miscarriage. She's been away from the church, so I'm hoping that God will bring her healing, not only physical, mental, but also spiritual, and bring her back to the church. Mm. And I'd also like to pray for the lady that called yesterday that was so desperate because of her financial situation. I've been where she's been.
Yeah.
I've been praying for years. My situation hasn't been resolved yet, but I have learned, like you have counseled us, to just let it go and put it in God's hands and say, Amen. Jesus, you take over.
Amen.
And that has brought me a great peace. So I'm hoping that she can get to that point and that will help her get through this so very much easier.
Well, Marcy, I want to pray for you too. It's a tough road to travel. You know, when you struggle financially and things are hard, I mean, life is expensive. It is difficult. And I certainly want to pray for you. And I'm sorry for your loss. I know that your daughter lost that child through miscarriage, but all life is precious. And I'm sorry for what you're going through, and especially for your daughter. I'm glad you came through today because I do want to pray for you. I want to pray for your daughter. I want to pray for all those who suffered miscarriages, those women now contemplating taking the life of their child. If you're listening to me now, I just want to say to you, don't do it. Don't do it. God's speaking to you. He is. He's giving you that child for a reason. It's a gift, not a curse. It's a gift, not a curse. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, you know, what pleases us, Marcy, is to give him all of our problems. And he said in diary entry, I think it was 1485, he says, you know, you give me pleasure when you hand over to me all your troubles and griefs. So we all have them, right? The Lord wants us to abandon those difficulties. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to turn them over to him. You give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and griefs. I'm very pleased, he said to St. Faustina once, you know, that you confide in me, that you trust in me. He says, by doing this, you give me great joy. So Lord, I just pray that we can give you joy, that you'll find us all pleasing. We give to you our hearts and our intentions and the crosses that we have in life and the difficulties that we face. Lord, we even give you our lack of trust. Help us to be faithful and trusting. And we pray, eternal Father, and we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want everyone who called to know, and everyone who's on hold right now, and everyone who has written, and everyone who's praying with me now, I will give you my deepest prayers. I will be praying for you. And let's continue to pray for each other. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Sanchez del Rio.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
And the prophetess Anna, whose feast day it is today.
Oh, pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Send those prayer intentions to us. We want to pray for you. Maggie will take them off of our Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. Send me your answered prayers. And as we wrap this up, let's continue throughout our days and our masses, our rosaries, our time with the Lord to pray for one another. Please remember your chaplet family. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
You are never alone.
God bless Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Cale Clark from The Cale Clark Show, which comes on right after this program, and The Faith Explained Show, which airs at 12:30 Central. You can always check the podcast for those ones if you miss them live. Sitting in for Drew today. Drew, of course, is in the Holy Land for a few more days on his pilgrimage. He will be back next week. I want to tell you, you can call in right now, and you're going to want to call in to talk to my next guest. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. It's the listener line for the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. And I am joined right now by one of the hosts of the very popular Godsplaining podcast. He's also the editor of our Sunday Visitor, osvnews.com, and an author. He's got a couple of books that we're going to be talking about. He's been a great friend of the Cale Clark Show, and I'm so happy to welcome him today to the Drew Mariani Show. Dominican Father Patrick Briscoe joins me. Welcome to the show, Father. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Cale, it's really a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. It's always great to talk to you. And you came out with an article on OSV News, or Sunday Visitor News, about the 60th anniversary of Vatican II, which, of course, we just marked that. It was October the 11th, 1962, that the council was inaugurated. And I really enjoyed your piece that you wrote about this. And I want to just, we'll put a link to it, by the way, in the show notes for the podcast of this hour. But I want to ask you, Father, what was, do you think, Pope John XXIII's intent, his stated intent, in calling the council?
I think that's really a great place to begin, Cale, because I think there are a lot of people that presume that the Pope was just bored, and so he decided, well, I know what I'll do. Well, I'll throw a big party. I'll have a council. You know, that's sort of the way that people talk about it, and they don't realize that there were real very serious currents at work, real movements of thought kind of prompting, working, not the least of which was the fact that there were issues from Vatican I that hadn't entirely been resolved. So anyway, when he decided to call the council, he said, the major interest of the ecumenical council is this, that the sacred heritage of Christian truth be safeguarded and expounded with greater efficacy. So I think those twin pillars are really incredible when we talk about is the foundation of Vatican II. Where is it that we should start in our thinking about Vatican II? Well, we should start with the words of Pope St. John XXIII, which is this call to preserve the sacred heritage of Christian truth, to safeguard it, and to expound it, he says, with greater efficacy, to help more people understand it more clearly.
I love that. I love those two pillars, sort of preserving the faith and expounding it, expanding our reach, explaining it, and getting more people in the doors. I love it. And opening up the windows of the church, as he often said when he was Pope. Father, I just want to follow up something you said in answering that question just a moment ago. This is very intriguing to me that you said that really Vatican I, you know, back in the 19th century, the issues from that council had not been resolved. And I've heard people say even today that that's still the case. What might some of those issues be from Vatican I?
Yeah, that's right. So, Vatican, you know, I just had this at lunch the other day. You know, these are the sort of things that you talk about when you're at Dominican Friary, sort of are bored, and one of the student brothers asked you, you know, he had a mischievous look in his eye, but he said, you know, so what's your favorite council? Which I thought was hilarious. So, you know, that's what we talk about here at the Dominican House of Studies. Oh, what's your favorite church council? So, and I said Vatican I. And I said Vatican I. For a couple reasons. One is that it's the council wherein papal infallibility is defined.
Yeah.
So the claim that the Holy Father is infallible on matters of faith and morals, and there's a whole bunch of asterisks that go along with that, right?
That's good.
So when I talk about things that are unresolved from Vatican I, I think that's one of the huge questions. Papal authority, the teaching office of the bishops, his main partners, and we see that getting worked out, particularly the role of the episcopacy in Vatican II. And that's one of these major currents that maybe people aren't thinking about in a kind of primary way. The second thing that I would point to that stretches from Vatican I into Vatican II is this contest between faith and reason.
Mm.
So it's quite a way to phrase it. You know, it's really something. But Vatican I actually teaches that it's a dogma by faith that we can prove God's existence by reason.
which
is sort of funny. Like when you sit back and you think about that, you're like, wow, that's a really powerful tonic. So the church is actually saying that you have to believe that you can use your brain.
I like it. I like that.
That's where we land. You know, so we have this current contest, this tension, this power, this thinking of the interplay between faith and reason, stretching from Vatican I into Vatican II. And I argue that we see the flowering of that in Vatican II's call to the laity to evangelize, particularly the modern world, the laity's call to be leaven in the world. So that reliance on faith and reason. Anyway, in a technical way in church history, before he opened Vatican II, Vatican I had to be closed because it was sort of interrupted and not officially closed. So there is that kind of like asterisk of Catholic trivia there too. But I think the ideas are really the bigger point.
Yeah, and I love that. The church says you have to use your brain. That's the tweetable version, I guess, at some level of one of the axioms of Vatican I. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. You're listening to the Drew Mariani Show. If you have a question for Father about Vatican II and how it's to be properly understood, I know that's something that's been in the news a lot this week. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let me ask you this, Father. In your opinion, because you hear this statement made a lot, in your opinion, was the Second Vatican Council hijacked, quote unquote, by progressives / heretics? Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, this is something that I think is deeply nefarious, and I think it's a really evil opinion, and that it can't be held by people of good faith.
Mm.
And those are strong words, and I know that, and I'm using them very intentionally, because to hold that view means you have to renounce, it seems to me, a confidence in the Holy Spirit's work protecting the magisterium, and I don't think the Catholics in good standing can do that. So you would have to believe, you know, it's just like the view, in my mind, it's very similar to the view of people who say, oh, we should have women priests. Like, to me, the biggest difficulty is believing that Jesus would allow us to have been wrong for 2,000 years. Like, if Jesus wanted women to be priests, why would he have oppressed women for 2,000 years before he had women priests? That just doesn't seem like something Jesus Christ would do, at least not the Jesus Christ that I know from the New Testament. So you have to posit something really violent, really difficult. You know, again, like the idea that Christ would want or even permit or allow women to have been so oppressed, you know, in order to bring them into the priesthood. That's just to me a wild and very difficult view. Similarly, you would have to say the same thing. You have to abandon confidence in the Holy Spirit's work to protect the magisterium, the official teaching capacity of the church. And that's just not something I can hold. And for that reason, principally, I think this claim that the council has been infiltrated is really difficult. Now, the other thing that I would add to that is that the church is a big tent. And so there are things that are personally difficult for me to hold. I have my own preferences of worship. They tend to be more traditional than the generations immediately ahead of me. And so there's a rub with the with those views that I hold, with views that the church is calling me to hold. And I think that part of the difficulty with the view of the view that the council was infiltrated is a lack of docility and a lack of the desire to really be humbled and to allow something else to work on my heart and my own views. So those are two kind of major difficulties I have with that view.
Yeah, it really does require you to swallow your pride to a certain extent. And I remember once, kind of related, talking to a priest friend of mine, and he once said, you know, what's a lot of people think the promise to celibacy is the most challenging part. Very often it's obedience. Very often it's obedience. And I think that kind of factors in and is relatable to what you're saying there. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican priest, one of the hosts of the very popular Godsplaining podcast. He's an author. We're going to be talking about his books in just a moment. He's also the editor of OSV News, our Sunday visitor. If you have a question about Vatican II, why don't you call in right now? If you have a question for Father, 888-914-9149. We'll be back with much more with Father Patrick Mary Briscoe right after this on The Drew Mariani Show.
Your Catholic voice lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Keeping you better informed, educated, and inspired. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, love that song too. A little Gordon Lightfoot for you there, Sundown. Is that because I'm Canadian and I'm sitting in for Drew? Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, this is Cale Clark sitting in for Drew Mariani today. He's still on his pilgrimage in the Holy Land, so please pray for him. I know he's praying for you. And you can call in right now to talk to my guest, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. We're talking about Vatican II and everything that's happened since. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. Father Briscoe, we talked about before the break, your article that you wrote for our Sunday Visitor, and you're an editor there now, the senior editor. I want to ask you about some things in your article that you said. You talked about three major, I guess you could say, takes or interpretations of the council. Can you elaborate on those three interpretations?
Yeah, that's right. I think for me, it's important to think about them because they're the things that we're seeing around us, you know, still in the air. And again, you know, we're talking about Vatican II because of the anniversary. I mean, in the span of a church council, Vatican II was yesterday. Even though most of my students, you know, people that I were teaching, people that I was teaching when I was at Providence College, you know, young people, they don't even know what it was. To them, it's as irrelevant as the Vietnam War protests. You know, like they just don't think about it. It's not part of the landscape of their lives. But from the perspective of the church, Vatican II was yesterday, because often it takes 100, 200, 300, 400 years to really understand and adopt fully the teaching of the council. So for us, it's very relevant. And we were just sort of chatting about this view. It's become very common that the council was infiltrated. And according to that, I understand why people suppose something like this, because it's difficult when you look at Vatican II to begin to approach the mess, right? You say, like, well, this was really messy, and life in the church should be tidy, and I have to have a category to understand how there could be something so divisive, something that's caused so much anxiety, intellectual discourse, etc. Therefore, that can't have been the plan. Therefore, the council was infiltrated. And so we're going the wrong way and we're doing the wrong thing. Okay, and I discussed before the break a little bit why I think that idea is bunk, because we have to have a confidence in the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Okay, so it was to infiltration, no good. Others will say that the actual teaching of Vatican II, particularly the documents of Vatican II. Others will say the actual teaching of Vatican II is sound. Mm-hmm. And this is so, you know, so far so good. But then they will say that Vatican II was a failure because the fruit of the council is obviously a failure. Hmm. Now, at this time, very sympathetic to, because I would be one of those, being a Dominican, that would put on my microscope glasses and talk about the doctrines and, right. you know, say that there was an interpretive spirit, a kind of wave of enthusiasm that overwhelmed the letter of the law. And I should think that would be obvious to everyone who looks at the post-conciliar period. Like, we did not do what those things told us to do. So I have a lot of sympathy for this view. The problem, though, if you dig in on it too hard, is concluding that the reason we're in the place that we're in the church is because of Vatican II. And I think that overlooks the massive cultural trends, which were already at play and inspired the council. And so that's why I think the view that the council was necessary is so important, because you can't actually conclude that everything after the council is derived or the fault of the council. That's just a fallacious argument to think that. Just because something happens chronologically before in history does not mean it therefore caused everything else after. Does it impact it? Yes. Do we need to unpack how all of these things are related? Yes. But is it absolutely the case? No. So we need to think about that. And there I'm challenging, you know, as I admitted myself. And then lastly, and this third view I think is the most problematic, which is that we just haven't, basically people argue that we just haven't Vatican II'd enough. And if we only Vatican II'd harder, we would be in an era of great peace and stability. And so there the idea is something like, well, you know, we started following the spirit of the spirit of the Second Vatican Council, and then that evil conservative Pope John Paul II came in and stopped everything in its tracks. And so now we have to just Vatican II harder, and we can just launch off the trajectory and really get going there. And that's not really a view that I think is a stable one either, because again, it presupposes all kinds of problematic things, like, you know, calling a major saint of the church a person of ill will is rather difficult. And so we have to think seriously about how John Paul II, his successors, Benedict and Francis, have called for us to continue to interpret the documents that led us through those later years of post-conciliar reform.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. I'm Cale Clark, sitting in for Drew, talking with Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, OP, about Vatican II, a recent article that he wrote about it. And one of the things you said in that article was a great quote from Cardinal Montini, who, of course, became Pope Paul VI. He closed off the council after John the 23rd passed away. And when the council was called, he said this, quote, "The holy old boy has stirred up a hornet's nest," end of quote. I love that quote. In light of all that, what was it really necessary at the time for that council to be called, in your opinion?
You know, I've come to firmly believe that it was. And it's interesting to see people fall in different places on this. Like, if you're looking for a different take, Ross Douthat over at the New York Times really digs into that and says both that the council didn't have to happen and that it was a failure. And I don't accept Mr. Douthat's view on Vatican II. So why do I think it was necessary? Again, there were major trends of thought, philosophical thought, the challenges of the modern intellectual climate that were awake there in the early 20th century, and the church had to do something, had to adapt to address those currents. So I really believe that. I believe that the changes in society coming were such that we had to do something. For Americans, we don't always think about what post-war Europe was like for the church. You know, for us, the time after the war was a time of great success. You know, so for us, this view is particularly challenging because we look at the post-war era and say, no, that was great. But for the Europeans who had lived the hell of the war intimately, there was really a crisis of faith, a crisis of life in the church, the challenge of rebuilding. To go through and try and stabilize all of the currents of society that have been disrupted by the war was just really a tremendous undertaking. So you have all the cultural things, and then you add finally this call to evangelize. And this is something John Allen said over at Crux recently that struck me. He pointed out that the 20th century is the greatest century of growth in the Catholic Church ever.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So to have categories to address that growth and to take seriously this call to evangelization, I think it is really a key part of this. For me as a Thomist, you know, if people are into thinking about St. Thomas Aquinas, my guy is Reginald Guerrero-Lagrange, who was a famous professor at the Angelicum. Guerrero-Lagrange really understood this this idea of the universal call to holiness and argued for it, and was one of the theologians, I think, that inspired a lot of this thinking and theological narrative through the council that the laity are called to holiness and to go out and to inspire and evangelize the world by their own Christian lives.
Father, I'm going to ask you, we have to take a really quick break here. Can you hang with us for just another couple of minutes on the other side of the break?
It would be my pleasure.
Okay. We're gonna come back with a few more minutes here because half an hour is just not enough with Father Briscoe. He's got so much to say. We're going to be right back on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio right after this break. Stay tuned.